I hope everybody's enjoying themselves and that you're having a wonderful dinner. I think that the turtle cheesecake was absolutely wonderful. I said we should name it the 10-pound turtle cheesecake because that's what it feels like sitting at the bottom of my stomach right now. But I need another piece if you put it in front of me. I would. It's great. And the lemon's great, too. It's very good. Very good. Well, you guys, take your time and finish up your dinner and just enjoy it right now because we have a great guest speaker that we'd like to introduce to you. Debbie Grubb is her name. She lives right now in the Tampa Bay area of Florida. She is the immediate past president of the Florida Council of the Blind. She has been the president of three ACB affiliates. She's chaired the ACB Environmental Access Committee for several years, and she is currently the project leader for the ACB Pedestrian Safety Handbook. So she is a very busy lady. I'd like it if you guys would put your hands together for Debbie Grubb.
Good evening again, ICB. I just want you to know what an honor it is when anyone is asked come and speak and present at your conventions. All of us who have the opportunity of doing so, and Ray can attest to this, it is humbling and it is a deep honor. And I thank you for inviting me. I'd like to take a minute and share a very special personal Illinois memory with all of you. When I had just graduated from school at the Maryland School for the Blind and public school at the same year, Eastern High School, I and several of my classmates who planned to go to college were sent out to the big city of Chicago to It is true. And we took the college prep course at the Chicago Lighthouse and stayed at the dorm. And it was my first taste of true independence. And I, through my life, when I think of it, it has been a lovely, sparkly memory because it was the first time that I was totally responsible for myself. I made friends. I had a little innocent summer romance while I was out there. and I just, when I think of my 8 weeks in Chicago, I just know it was that first little step into adulthood, and it really did prepare me in a major way for college and grad school. And so I have deep affection for Illinois because you all played a major part in my stepping from girlhood into adulthood. I'd like to share with you a couple of observations that I've made. This weekend, we've used the word team a lot. And what I want to say to you is that we all have to be on the team. The team isn't constituted by your articulate leaders or other people. If each of us isn't doing our job on the team is not viable. And not all of us are meant to travel all over the country and speak or write, but we can all do something. And so what I would like to do is spend a couple of minutes telling you my own personal story, because I didn't start out as a rowdy disability rights advocate. When I was in school at the School for the Blind, it was not a happy experience for me because I was too rebellious, wanted to know what was on the other side of the hill, and I couldn't wait to get out and get going. So I was kind of an overachiever, and being in the world of the blind and helping make our lives better was not on my to-do list because I, whether it was right or wrong, I felt, well, I'll take care of myself and they can take care of themselves. And so I got a job and I lived my life. And one day I was invited to be on the Governor's Advisory Council for Individuals with Disabilities in the state of Maryland. And my eyes were opened that there are people who are not overachievers, many times through no fault of their own. There are people who need a voice, and they need to be given their voice back again. When I was at the council, I became aware of the fact that there were people in chairs, especially those who were quadriplegics, who were living in squalor because their personal care attendants were making less money than McDonald's employees. They were ending up back in nursing homes, and it was costing more money to care for them than if they were at home. And it came to me that if I treated my little pet dachshund at the time like those people were treated, the ASPCA would come and take her away from me. And so I began to be totally annoyed and outraged by what I saw. And so my first trip into the advocacy arena was in a dark, smelly facility where people who were considered life's throwaways and who, in terms of the world, had no feeling that anybody really gave much of a damn about them. I went in there and I said, God, what am I doing in here? What do I know about this? And I met someone who was a mentor. And before I knew it, I was standing before the Maryland legislature testifying on behalf of these people. I remember the first time I testified before the legislature, and I was terrified. And I got up there and I did it, not because it was easy, not because I wanted to, but because it was right. And then I started getting calls from my friends and saying, you need to join our Maryland ACB group. And I began to see some of the injustices. I began to see that at that time, before IDEA became a part of our world, that there were blind children who were not able to read on a level with their peers because they and their parents were afraid to have them read Braille because somehow it was an admission of blindness. And everybody said, in the state of Maryland, there will never be a Braille bill. Never. The NFB had tried it several years. It won't happen. I said, well, there may not be one, but I'm going to try. And I talked to the head of the Department of Education, who was opposed to it. And I said to him, what other population do you know of that technology replaces the right and the ability to be able to read? What other students would you allow to graduate who cannot read? And I began to talk to him about research that shows that young people, people in general, who can read on a level with their peers, have better employment opportunities and succeed better in life. And on this committee that I told you I joined, this council, there was an old senator. Her name was Senator Garrett, and she was about ready to retire. And when I got up to testify before the committee for our Braille bill, I knew it didn't have much of a chance. And I had my first guide dog then, and I had gone up to the podium with her so that I would look like I knew what I was doing. So when my name was called, I go up there, and I was just inside, just trembling. And this quavery old voice, who had was just about at the end of her public service, said to the committee, I want you all to listen to her because she knows what she's talking about. And when that happened, I somehow realized that I had, with many of you, many other blind people, many other people with disabilities, a call to be a voice and to help us join a chorus of empowerment and freedom. And so I, who at one time didn't even know what the titles of the ADA were about, I began to work and to strive. I didn't know much of anything, And so one of the first things I did was, when I went to my first ACB convention, it soon appeared to me what chapters, what affiliates were doing stuff. I called people that I had probably no business calling, and I said, I need your help. And I got it. And I tell you these things because joining the team for our rights and our responsibilities is a choice, but it's also a necessity. We have to tell our story. No one can tell your story better than you. You don't have to be the most articulate speaker. You don't have to have a master's degree in journalism to tell your story. What I have found, and this isn't just true of me, whether you're going to the legislature, whether you're going to county, city, state government, whether you're going to a police association, wherever you go, if people know someone with a disability, if they can put a face, a voice, a hand, a real person, a living, breathing person, they are so much more likely to be open to what we have to say. Because the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, that most people, when they look at us, they see dollar signs. They see dollars flowing out. And what we have to say is, all right, maybe that's true, but you can have dollars flowing out to level the playing field in this country so that we can live and work and do our business of life, or you can pay to take care of us. And we have chosen that we are disabled, but we are not sick. We do not need care. We need empowerment, and we need to be enabled. And I want to tell you that each one of you in this room and everybody that you know can be a voice and a hand to someone in power. The biggest enemy that we have in the world of the blind today is apathy and a choice that we can't do it. We don't have a voice. We don't matter. One voice added to one voice added to one voice added to one voice matters a lot. Are you going to be a voice that begins the song? Are you going to be a voice that joins in? You have said today and yesterday that you want to begin to revitalize the Illinois Council of the Blind. We need it. Illinois needs it. This whole country needs it. I need it. We need revitalized affiliates who are ready to take a stand for our civil rights. Remember what I said to you yesterday. If we don't protect our civil rights, if we don't take advantage in the most possible way of our civil rights, they fade away. They become, as that song says, ink stains that are dried upon some line. We have a right to our place at the table. We are American citizens. We have nothing to be ashamed of and much to be proud of. And if people in this organization ask you to make a phone call, ask you to visit a county councilman or a county commissioner or whatever you call your government people down here in this great state, you need to do it. But you know what? But you know what? We can make them aware of us. We can be the humanity. Because you see, they don't see us as a person. They see us as that group that's always wanting something that's costing us money. And we have to show them a couple of things. One of the things that really makes disability real to people is this fact. It can touch a person's life in the moment, in a moment, by disease, through a terrible accident, through a genetic problem, and it can touch us directly, or sometimes, which is even worse, it can touch us through someone that we love more than life itself. We have to make that a reality to these people. And we've got to stop thinking that our voice doesn't matter. When I ended my presidency of the Florida Council of the Blind, one of the people who writes a lot of articles for our particular newsletter, which is called the White Cane Bulletin, interviewed me. And she asked me what I felt about my presidency. And I talked about many of the things that we had accomplished. But I said my greatest disappointment, my greatest heartbreak, was that I hadn't found the words. I hadn't found the way to make people catch the vision that we matter, that our voices matter, and that together as a voting bloc, we can matter. And I want to tell you, the advocacy arena, as Ray and others can tell you, is not only filled with great victories, it's filled with disappointments and heartache. But you keep on keeping on. In Florida, we have had a major setback in voting because we started out and we got the people. We were on a major task force. We had the touch screen voting systems. And then people began to say, oh, they can be hacked into. They're not good for us. And so they said, we're going back to the optical scan ballot, which is, of course, the paper ballot that you mark the little circles and it goes in a scanner. The state of Florida promised us, if we would use the touchscreen machines for 2 years, that they would purchase the technology that existed that would enable us to use the same ballot that everyone else uses. And then we got sold down the river because they said, oh, well, you know, better technology will come along. And some disingenuous person who worked for a center for independent living said, oh, well, we can go with that because we know better equipment will come along. I had done my research, ladies and gentlemen, and in the state of Florida, there was so much merging of election machinery and election equipment that I was told by everyone, and I mean I talked to everyone, that for at least the next decade, there wasn't going to be major improvements in access and accessible equipment on which we can vote. And so we in the state of Florida are once again separate and definitely not equal. And these things are difficult, but you keep on striving. You keep on trying. I wrote a major position paper on this with research, and I sent it to the group in this state of Florida who proudly calls themselves the Vision Caucus, and they wouldn't buy into it. But we're not done with it. We're going to keep trying. We're going to keep striving. I don't know about all of you, but in Florida, the white cane law is laughable in the way in which it is known about and enforced. And this year, our major legislative initiative is going to be to ensure that this changes. Because the truth of the matter is that we have the right to access the streets and highways of our country. Driving is a privilege for which a license is required. Pedestrian access is a civil right. We have to know what our civil rights are, and we have to use them. One of the problems that we have in every state I've ever been in, and I'm sure it's true here in Illinois, when we talk about voting equipment, people say, but nobody came to use it. And even now, when I go to vote, people will say, well, nobody came in here to vote with this accessible equipment but you in this entire precinct. People, we have got to make a sacrifice. We have got to say, I'm going to stop doing what's always easy. We have got to be more visible. It is paramount. I know that it's easier to stay at home and not vote at all, or vote with a secret ballot that somebody fills out for you, that you don't have the ability to say, by jingo, I am honoring my civil right, one of the key core civil rights on which this country was founded, to cast a secret, independent, verifiable ballot. Now, there was a time when technology did not exist to allow us to do this. I remember going in the old voting booths, and I'm sure many of you do, with the levers, and it got quite cozy in there. Two judges, me, and the guide dog. But now, we don't have to do that anymore. And people, we find a way to do stuff we want to do. I am asking, imploring, and begging you, the next election, make sure the state of Illinois, every precinct in this state, has a person who is blind walking in and saying, I am here to vote. And I want to use the accessible voting equipment. No, it's not easier. No question about it. But people, if we don't get in the program, if we don't make our voices heard, if we aren't making a difference and letting other people see that we are a voting bloc. Do you all remember, many of you I'm sure do, as the ADA was coming out, people in chairs were making vast movement toward getting lift-equipped buses, getting curb cuts. Why did they do it? How did they do it? Because they felt, I have a voice. I have a right to a drinking fountain that I can reach, to, in those days, a telephone that I can call, to a door that I can open, to a street that I can cross, to a bus that I can board. People, our rights are just as significant. And we are at a greater disadvantage because the reality is, people can understand a physical impairment, such as a mobility impairment, much better than they can understand a sensory impairment. It is up to us to say, this is what I have the right to. This is what I need. This is my story. I'm telling you my story. I want to tell you, people in politics, these are the truths. They don't want to hear from lobbyists. They don't want to hear sometimes even from people like Ray and me. They want to hear from you. They don't want to hear from people who can quote all the facts and know the laws. We do it and we will continue to do it. But people want to hear your story. The reality is, ladies and gentlemen, that every initiative that ever becomes national starts out in somebody's hometown. Maybe it's yours. What are you going to do? If this organization is going to be viable, you all have to say, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to find out what my role is on this team. The team is full. It needs to be diverse. It needs to have people with all kinds of abilities. And it needs you to find your spot on it, to find your role in it. And I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, if we in the American Council of the Blind stood up and said, I am going to be counted, the victories that our national organization could win for us would be double what they are now. We are blessed to be part of a wonderful organization, the American Council of the Blind. They work tirelessly for us. But the truth is, they need money too. They need our help. They need people to serve on committees. They need us in our hometowns and where we live to be that voice, to be that person. Eric Bridges cannot go on the hill and make stuff happen all by himself. It takes you, and it takes me, and it takes all of us. And you know what? You are now on the brink of doing something. The choice is yours. The Illinois Council of the Blind can stand up and be counted, and you can begin to make a difference in your hometowns all across this great state of Illinois. And the ripple effect will move with you throughout the Midwest and throughout this entire country. Or you can say, it was a good dream. It felt good to talk about it. Wasn't it wonderful to think about it and do nothing? And the question I ask you tonight is, and I ask of myself, and I ask of all of us, what are we going to do? Because there's not a single one of us who can't do something. We can pick up a telephone. When you are asked to call a representative, when you are asked to go to a meeting in your hometown, go, show up. We have to be somebody's reality. We can't be seen as this silent, needy, lackluster group who always needs money. We've got to be seen in all of our diversity. Young, old, rich, poor, articulate, not so articulate. We need to show them that we are part of humanity, and we are as diverse and as entitled to our part of the American dream as any other segment of this population. And the only people who can make our politicians, our city, and our government leaders aware of this is us, is you and me. And it's hard. Sometimes it's disappointing. And sometimes in the blindness world, we are our own worst enemies. Sometimes pettiness, we get our feelings hurt, and we say, well, I'm done with that. But we can't be, people, because you know what? It's up to us. This ball is in our court. And we have to tell these people, we elected you. We have to be visible. We have to be a voting bloc. We have to take our civil rights seriously, because it isn't just enough to fight for them and get a law. That law has to be practiced every day. The white cane law, in many ways right now, is dangerous to us because it's on the books and we think, oh, well, we've got the right of way in an intersection. Cars are supposed to stop for us. But we have to do our part to say, this law is important. And this law has as much need to be enforced as any other law. October 15th is coming up soon. There should be people marching with their white canes and their guide dogs all over this country, including in the state of Illinois, and saying, this is our law. This is our right. We know that no one can guarantee us total safety. Life doesn't hold that kind of guarantee. But we need a level place in the playing field, because we ourselves cannot self-police this law. We need to make sure that those who are hired to enforce the laws in this country, that this law is important and that it is enforced. And no one can do that here but you. No one can do that back in your hometown but you. And nobody can do it in my hometown but me and those of us who live there. And the truth is, people, we're not alone. No one is asking you to do this alone. We're asking you to join a team and play your part. And if you feel that it would be a good thing to go to a meeting of your legislature when they're at home, I can't tell you how significant that is. If you're worried about going by yourself, call one of your friends. You're not afraid to ask somebody to go to a movie or out to dinner. Get three or four of you and go. That's what this whole thing is about. And that, people, is what the secret of revitalizing the Illinois Council of the Blind is all about. And I will tell you, fundraising is yucky. None of us much like to do it. But I want to tell you something. If people can see that you, that this organization is full of movers and shakers, and that you are getting something done, a couple of things are going to happen. Number one, the ask is going to be a lot easier, because you can say to people, look at what we're accomplishing. We're asking you to give us funds to join with us. So I am telling you that right now, as you stand on the brink, you're electing officers. Vote wisely, but say to yourself, I don't care how scary it is. I'm going to discern what my role on this team is, and I'm going to play it to the best of my ability. And the truth is, the more you play your role on the team, the more opportunities you will be given. There's a scripture to say, if you are faithful in little, you will be given opportunities to be faithful in much. And that's what we're asking you for. I started out as a frightened girl who was outraged by injustice. And I have had the opportunity to make a dream come true of mine now with three editions of the ACB Pedestrian Safety Handbook. I had the honor of speaking before the Department of Justice for service dog rights because I was faithful in little. And I'm asking you, this organization is fighting for its life. And you are the people who can resuscitate it. You are the people that can give it meaning and validity and drive and vibrancy. And you are the people who can make it an organization that you will be proud to say, by gosh, I'm a member of the Illinois Council of the Blind, and we are affiliated with the greatest organization of the blind in this country, the American Council of the Blind. Let's do it, people. Let's make it happen. The ball is in your court. It's up to you. Let's do it, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. God bless.
There she goes.
Yeah, we'll need her to go on the other side there, probably.
Come here. Get over here.
There she goes.
Get over here, Randall.
Well, I can tell you, Deb, I wish I had your passion about everything in life. And I love the fact that you are a rebel. That is wonderful. I really like that about you. I really do. And I can see that you're an extremely passionate person. And your voice is heard. Your voice is heard. And it will continue to be heard because you're so passionate about it. We have some awards to give out today and some raffles. And we're going to start off. We have three awards coming up. The O'Shaughnessy Award, the Dick Bledsoe Award, and the 50-50 raffle and hotel room raffle that we're going to be giving away. And I can see Maureen is over here. Right, Maureen? Are you are prepared, right? She's going to start off with our O'Shaughnessy Award. So welcome, Maureen Hennigan, your secretary.
Oh, thank you. All right.
And then we have your mic right here.
All righty.
There you go.
Thank you. Okay. Okay. I think I'm on the mic now. All right. This award, as Marianne said, is the Robert J. O'Shaughnessy Award. This year, we are presenting this award to the recipient of this award is an individual who has had low vision all of her life, but has recently lost more of her eyesight. She completed the program at the Illinois Center for Rehabilitation and Education in November of 2012 with great success. This program provides blind and visually impaired people with the necessary skills to be productive and to live a meaningful life. through this program, she was able to brush up on her computer skills. She learned how to read Braille, and she learned how to use devices that would assist visually impaired people in cooking and much more. Before she completed this program, she attended a job fair that was hosted through the mayor's office for people with disabilities. And by attending this fair, she was able to obtain an internship position at the Chicago Lighthouse. There, she is working in the low vision call center, making appointments for patients. And she is also working at the reception desk, which certainly fits her warm and personable personality. With the skills that she has obtained through this internship, she was able to land a position at a company called Enforce, and she is going to start that position sometime in the near future. She is also a mother of two adult children, and she is very ambitious and enthusiastic about life. Without any further ado, I would like to present the Robert J. O'Shaughnessy Award to Vanessa Taylor. Is she making her way? All right. Okay. Okay. Oh.
Here you go. Let me turn that on for you. Here you go.
Congratulations, Vanessa.
She is great. She's on the other side of here.
Hi,
Mary Ann.
Hello.
Okay. There you go. Congratulations.
Oh,
I'll use you when you're done.
That's all right.
I would like to thank you for this award. But first of all, I would like to thank God, who is the head of my life, and without him, I would not be here. Secondly, I would like to thank Eddie Williams, because he helped me to see that I am blind. I have issues with that. I had issues with that.
We all have.
And I'd like to thank my teachers, Donna Jenkins, who's my Braille teacher, Barbara, I think her name was Winchner. She was my typing teacher and my individual living skills teacher. I also had Tom Lamb, who was my computer teacher, and Lonnie Simmons, who was my home mechanics teacher. I learned how to build a box. So I appreciate everything that that I have right now. And I'd like to say one more thing. You know, when you go into a new position or when you go into anything like this, like you wake up, realize you're disabled, you have to go in with a goal. Because if you don't go in with a goal, you won't be able to complete your next level. You're just doing it just because they say you have to do it. So I thank everyone.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Would you like to say one more thing?
Oh, here I am.
Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you again. And we do have another award, the Dick Bledsoe Allo Award, presented by Alice. Alice, you're here, right? There she is. All right. Here's what you have. This is the mic for somebody else to use.
Okay.
This is your mic.
Okay.
And you do have plenty of space here.
Oh, yes. Okay. To lay my things down. I always have to tell some kind of joke or story up here. Have you heard about the drink called the football cocktail?
You're lucky if you can get the first down. You're putting all people like that.
I like that.
If you don't understand football, you won't get that. You'll have to go ask someone. Oh, I hope I can do this. Oh, this is Dick would have been so honored and pleased to know that an award was named after him. For those of you who don't know, he was very active in ICB. He was treasurer for a few years, not as long as Howard, but he was a treasurer for several years. And he was also secretary, I think, for at least 10 years, maybe 15. And ICB was very dear to his heart. And this is a little bit of a sad day for me, but yet so appropriate. This is our anniversary date. We would have been married 27 years. Remember 2 years ago we had that party? Yeah. And so, oh, thank you. So I'm going to try this. You'll probably know who this is as soon as I start reading all the accomplishments here, but we'll save the name till last. This person received a BA degree in secondary education from Lane College, Jackson, Tennessee, an MS degree in rehabilitation administration from DePaul University, Chicago. She will always be remembered as a bureau chief whom staff trusted to lead them and in whom customers had their most valiant companion for success. Throughout her 42 working years, she was a visionary for service in the field of blind rehabilitation in Illinois. Her wisdom and service provision was respected in the field of blind rehab throughout Illinois and beyond. Her career path is as follows. April 5th, 1971 to 1988, she was a home rehab teacher. That's what they called them in those days. I think they're low-vision therapists or something now. 1988 to 1993, was a rehab instructor supervisor. 1993 to 2000, superintendent of Ikrie Wood. And from 2000 to June 28th, 2013, bureau chief of Illinois Bureau of Blind Services. She received numerous awards throughout her career. The 2012 Community Partner Award, presented by the Chicago Lighthouse. She was a review panelist for 3 years for NIDRR, which is National Institute on Disability and Rehab Research, Employee of the Year from Interagency Committee on Employees with Disabilities. And in 2000, the Gold Medallion Award, presented during the Chicago Lighthouse Centennial Year Celebration, and 2003 ICB Vendors Special Recognition Award. She campaigned for self-employment as a viable vocational goal for persons who are blind and are visually impaired. And I know she is enjoying her retirement as I speak, getting used to all those leisure days. And so I present now, and it is the Dick Bledsoe Award, and I'm proud to be the first presenter of this award, and I present it now to Betty Odom Davis.
I'm going to give this to you so you can turn around and talk with everybody.
And I'm going to turn this way.
Yeah.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I would like to thank Alice for presenting me the award, and certainly the members of the ICB. It's such an honor, and particularly because I knew Dick personally. And the fact that I am a recipient of such an award is very humbling. The fact that that I could work the 42 years in the state of Illinois and be able to contribute some of the things that some of you here in the room have helped me to achieve. It has been really awesome. I do pledge that I'm going to continue to work, and who knows, I may be a part of this group and kind of push for some other ideas and keep it moving. And it is nice to be retired after 42 years. I thank you very much. And as our guest speaker, I want to congratulate her on all of the accomplishments that she has done, and also to say that very recently, one of my closest friends who had worked in the state of Florida for many, many years, Linda Dobson, as a rehabilitation instructor out of the Fort Myers area. So I'd like to thank everybody, and thank you so much for the Dick Bledsoe Award.
And also to let all of you know, our friend Lynn, where is Lynn? Oh, there she is. She's right there in front of me, right in front of me. This is Lynn in the floral shirt. Lynn is going to help us later on, as soon as we're finished here, set us up over on the side where we can do some photo ops where everybody is handed the awards. We'll do that, too, so everybody can have a nice photo op.
I know
we do.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, I know we do. So, and I do have to get my little cheat sheet over here, so I'll remember which one's which. So, because I know we have one more, and we have door prizes on top of that, too. Right, right. So, we also, we know you do have another award.
We have two more, actually. Well, it's
the 50-50?
No.
Yeah? No?
No, Maggie.
Oh. I'm going to let you present this then. Would that be okay?
Oh, yeah, all right. That's why I was trying to,
Hello again. It's Maureen. All right. We do have sort of a special. These are two certificates that are going to two very special people. They're two young men who have so unselfishly and just with such willingness have helped so many of us, all of us really, in this organization. They've just volunteered and, you know, just did it with just wanting to do it, wanting to help, just two very special young men who just want to help other people. And they've done a lot of errands and different, just, you know, running around and just anything they can do to help in situations. One, I want to specify, when we had our Summerfest fundraiser, they went up to the food, the buffet, and they filled, they helped us with our plates. And that was a hard thing to do because we had the wonderful band. They were playing while some of us were trying to tell these young men what we wanted in our plates, and you could barely hear anything. And they did, and it was, they just had so much patience with all of us. So tonight, without any further ado, I'd like to present these certificates to Ashton and Corey. These are Maggie and Aaron's two sons. All right.
Would that be okay?
That would be wonderful.
Let's do that here.
These, are they here?
Yep, they're right here in front of
you. These, we have certificates for you guys as well, but your mom's getting those. These are both $20 gift cards for all of your help.
Very good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want to say anything?
Thank you.
Thank you for these award, guys. It means a lot to me.
Thank you. It means a lot to me, too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, there you go. Take a nice picture.
And like I said, we're going to do some more photo ops, too, as soon as we're finished here. We do have Maggie, who is here, right, Maggie?
Yes.
And Maggie is also, Maggie Moggett is also here, and she's going to, she's got the 50-50 raffle and the hotel room raffle. We're going to have door prizes. So we're going to let her take things over. Here you go. Do you want this?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much. Okay, time for some prizes. Let me pull out my stuff here. Okay. We are first going to do the hotel room raffle. And this person will receive a check in the amount of $78. And I think, Marianne, I'm going to have you draw the name.
Ooh, I get to draw my name.
Shake it up.
Ooh. All right, it's fixed. I'm going to draw my own name. Here we go. Right. Well, what do you know? Marianne Manco won. Ah.
There you go. Pick a name, any name.
Okay, here we go. Let's see. Kay and Karen?
Ray and Karen.
Ray and Karen. Ray and Karen. Ah. Oh, wait a minute. It is fixed. There we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are giving ICB needs this money a lot more than we do. We're donating it back.
Aww.
Thank you very much. Microphone going out.
And then the 50-50 raffle.
Okay, we're going to do the 50-50 raffle. This person will receive $120. And we're going to have Debbie grab this one. Ooh. I'm shaking it up.
All right.
Nice and good. All right. All right,
let me see. I'm going to take this out of your way here. And yeah.
Okay, there we go. All right.
Yes.
See what name we get for that.
Oh, look, it's Marianne Manco.
Lynn.
Yay.
Lynn, you won $120.
Lynn Cauley. Oh, Lynn.
Yes.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Here's your money. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. And the irony is that Lynn is actually up next. So see what we're saying? Lynn, it's we got it all fixed for all of us, right? And we have, but Lynn is, Lynn Call is going to join us, and she has got, we've got a bunch of door prizes tonight, too. So you want to come up here, Lynn? No, but you will? Okay. She's going to come up, and she's got a lot of really cool stuff. So I'll let her take over.
All right.
You want what?
Do you want to use that or this?
Let's see. Can you hear me? You can hear me.
All right. I have got four fantastic, generous, wonderful door prizes for y'all tonight. If you've already won, I'm sorry. You can't win again. First off, we have a $50 cash prize from the Springfield District Association of the Blind. That will be going to the person that I keep drawing who's not here. I'm going to take that name out once and for all. Laura Booker.
Yay, Laura!
Woo! Well, this is much, much better than that.
Did you use that?
Okay, next is another $50. Pardon? Terry from Madison County that's not here.
That's what I thought.
Oh, no, but I know I saw him tonight, so. Okay, and I always mess this name up, and did I call this name earlier, Kelsey? I think I did. Okay. Okay, that one has to come out. Sorry. Here we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Jimmy Sue Castleberry. She's back there. Okay. I have got a $25 gift certificate from Horizons. You can order online or give them a call. That one goes to Charles Nettles, and I know he's here tonight.
Is he here?
Yes, he's here.
Okay, at least
you
get, well, he lost 50, but he lost
25. Does he know that? Yeah, Charles, you got drawn for $50 earlier today, but you weren't there.
Well,
yeah, all right. Okay. Awesome.
Oh, Laura, thank you.
Okay. The next, well, and that's very, you know, it's one of those things that comes back. Laura came up to me today and handed me an envelope donated by her with $100 in cash.
Oh,
so. The winner of that is
Laura Booker.
Oh my gosh. Me. Okay. Here, you want to look? Okay. All right. Well. Okay. Now I have Chicago Lighthouse donated a really nice, they call it a mega word crossword board game. It's kind of like Scrabble, like a Braille version of Scrabble, and it's nice and expensive. So somebody's going to really enjoy game night. Oh, Alice Bledsoe. Okay, that's what I have for tonight. 120. Yeah, I think I guess drinks. Ray says I had to buy his beer tonight. So there goes the $220.
Had I known tonight was going to be so profitable, I would have come much earlier. Katie, how are you here? Katie's here. All right. Katie, Brian was telling me about your beautiful voice. He was telling me that you have an absolutely beautiful voice and that you should finish tonight by leading us in the song. Would you be willing to do that? I'm taking that as a yes, since she's walking toward us. Let me meet you out here in the front. I might be able to take the mic with me. Will it work if I take it over here? It will work? Okay.
Cool.
I can take this to you then. That might be a little bit easier then. All right, Katie. If you'd like, just go ahead and put that down, and we'll just have you do that right here.
There you go.
What, to lead the song? I know. Okay. May the good Lord bless and keep you, whether here or far away. May you find that long-awaited golden day today. May your troubles all be smaller and your fortune 10 times 10. Till you, Lord, bless and keep you till we meet again. May you walk with sunlight shining, find a bluebird in every tree. May there be back of every cloud you see, fill your dreams with sweet tomorrow. Never mind what might have been. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet, till we meet again.
Thank you, and thank you everybody for coming out today. It was a wonderful evening. I hope you guys all had a great time.
Yes.
And congratulations to everybody who won all the awards tonight. Give yourself a nice round of applause. Yay!
You're welcome.
Okay, that concludes this evening's proceedings with the banquet. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning for the memorial service and the business meeting. So With that, I bid you good night.
Nice sitting with you guys.
You guys too. Yeah.